treasures, or investments. Only two while we're down here. If we look at, if you got your Bibles, we're going to start with a passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Now, before we keep going, just let's keep in mind, as our Lord and Savior, Almighty God, is speaking this advice to each and every one of us. And most people don't adhere to these words, but He's telling us, don't lay yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Book author and Christian Randy Alcorn has said, Christ's primary argument against amassing material wealth isn't that it's morally wrong, but it's simply that it's just a poor investment. Jesus isn't saying it's wrong to invest. He's just saying don't make stupid investments. Make smart ones. So let's talk about two ways to invest this morning. First off, what does the Bible say about making insecure investments? Because God cares how we invest our money. God tells us to be careful when we invest in earthly things. He wants us to keep life in perspective. I mean, because basically, you know, life is a vapor in itself. So when we invest in earthly things, it's really just temporary things. He wants us to keep life in perspective. He wants us to think about, you know, our mortality down here. Earthly treasures deteriorate and depreciate. You ever think about that? When it says in Matthew 6:19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Isn't that the truth? Over time, everything deteriorates. The Bible says when you put your treasures in earthly things, three things are definitely going to happen, no doubt about it. Number one, sometimes they will end up in ruin, okay? Number two, they might end up in rust. Or number three, they might end up in the hands of a robber. Those are three guaranteed things that definitely can happen when you put all your money into earthly things. Because over time, everything just crumbles. A house, a car, the roads. I mean, look at the roads. You know, can you imagine? Yeah, that's a great example right there. Just get in your car and drive down any road around here. You can see that deteriorating right now. You discover that they have a tendency to depreciate as well. Example, your car. You bought a car 3 years ago, the same as today. Is the car the same car as today that you would buy it? Did you know that when your car loses 11% of its value when you drive it out of the parking lot of a dealership? You know that? Right off the bat. So, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000 right off the bat. You pull it out of the dealership. Bottom line is you can never get ahead buying a new car. Ever. As soon as you buy it, it starts to wear out. It starts to depreciate. Earthly treasures demand constant vigilance and care. You know, when people like invest so much, maybe so, in big houses or cars or luxurious things, or like maybe big boats, rich people, you know, their time is spent taking care of all that stuff. I mean, this stuff needs to be taken care of. I mean, this isn't like a simple, like living, you know, modestly, which the Lord would have us to live like that. But, you know, I've been around in my business a lot of rich areas and Bloomfield Hills and just certain areas where I've just, they're massive. And Ray, you could attest to taking care of the lawn care and something. I mean, that's a perfect, you know, you have to invest to cut the lawn, to plant things, to take care of, you know, it's just time consuming. I mean, it really is. And as soon as you buy it, it starts to depreciate. No matter what you buy and keep, you spend the rest of your life keeping it repaired. Fixing it, it's always broken. And then you're spending more time on fixing it. It means more time for that and not the Lord. That means no church, no fellowship, no Bible study. All the time is spent on the earthly things. And a lot of people get caught up in that trap of being invested in just your possessions, and it just attracts your thoughts towards the Lord. And that's what the devil wants us to all do. You know, the more we think of ourselves and our selfishness and our wants, you know, it's just going to definitely take away from doing anything for the Lord. You know, reading your Bible every day, being focused on that, keeping your focus on the Lord. Like I said, church, fellowship with your Christians. You know, it's such a, you know, it's a challenge. You know, the Lord says, you know, take up your cross and follow Him. You know, and some can't do that. You know, they just, you know, they drop what they're doing and they go the other way. And, you know, the Lord is telling us, hey, we got to keep focus. You keep your focus. It's not on this place. And this is easy advice He's given, too. It's not really hard. But people could take it one way or the other way. You know, they have the free will to say, no, that's not my thing. Or they could say, hey, this is Almighty God talking to me. I better listen. I better think about what it is, you know, because, you know, you go into eternity, as we've seen here. Nowadays, you're seeing people either in hospitals or at funerals nowadays. And, Danny gave a good point this morning. You know, it's just, God's Word's not going to come back void. It really is not. I mean, it's a serious, everybody here today hearing our Word and me just thinking about talking about it is a blessing. You know, His Word will last forever. Exactly correct. I mean, you know, it says earthly treasures can desensitize us to the needs of others. You know, sometimes when we have so much stuff, we become desensitized to the needs of others. You ever think about that? I mean, when people need help, as Christians, we're supposed to help each other out or help the poor out. When we only care about ourselves and not other people. I mean, this is a good illustration. I mean, look at the rich man and Lazarus. Is everybody pretty much familiar with that? They heard about Luke, I believe, 15 or 16. Not exactly, but I should know it. But this is an interesting thing. Look at the rich man and the beggar. The story has many purposes and application. Here is the beggar laying at the gate of the rich man, hoping for a few crumbs. Look what the Bible says. This isn't like a meal or clothing or something that the guy could really need. We're talking about crumbs, a crumb from the rich man's table. And yet every time the rich man left his mansion with the poor man lying there, nothing ever happened. He just drove right by. I mean, picture him, he had a car. I know he didn't have cars back then. But he went right by and didn't even realize that this guy needed, consider that he was a human being and needed help, no less. He lived so far above his poverty of the poor man that he never considered that he might be in need of help. I mean, that's how desensitized this rich man was. I mean, you're so far consumed in what you have and you forget about the needs of others. I mean, it's just basic, humanity. I mean, it's just horrible. As another example, when we see someone who needs help, you know, our eyes will glaze over them. I mean, we've all seen people on the corners or something like that where, you know, you try to, you look straight ahead, but you don't ever catch their eyes or you never make eye contact with them. You know, I've done that. I mean, we've all done that, right? You know, we've all done that. Does this mean we should always stop and give to someone? No, because a lot of times, you know, they're out there just peddling, you know, wanting money and not wanting to work. But we should ask God to help us see them. See, there's a difference in seeing because sometimes we see them and God will put it in our hearts to help them. You know, that's interesting. You know, it's like when you see them, you're seeing them for what they need. And I've been there to where I've seen people, and you guys have might have, you really know when they need help. But sometimes just want to, like, put that off. They don't want to really see them. You know, and they, not just look at them, but see them. Because a lot of people will look at somebody, but they won't like see them for hey, I need help. You know, and it's our duty to do that. Earthly treasures, another thing is, it doesn't get you into heaven. You know, it does not get you into heaven, no matter what anybody ever says. Look at 1 Timothy 6:7, if you got your Bibles. This is a group. This is one, a phenomenal passage. This really is. This is one of my favorite passages, and I think we've all heard it. I'm going to read it. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world." Amen? Is that right, guys? "And it is certain." You can almost put a 100% guarantee behind even that. I'm not trying to add to the Lord's words, but "and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Right? "But the Bible says you can send it ahead." See, that's where you're investing in eternity and not the here and now. And people have got that completely opposite. You can send it in, but you can't take it with you. See, the more people would think on them lines, the more spiritual they're going to get. Because remember, when you go to a funeral, that's the only time God could get your attention. I've talked to a lot of people. They want to avoid that. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to be confronted by it. But it's a reality. And when you invest in earthly treasures, it's for the here and now. But it doesn't go past the grave. Amen? There's a Bible verse we don't see or read very much, but it has a lot of meaning to what pertains to what we're talking about. We're going to look at Psalm 49, 10 through 12, and Psalm 16 and 17. Now, listen to what the psalmist says here. This is very, very good. And he's talking about Almighty God. He says, "For he sees the wise die. Likewise, the fool and senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? You're always seeing something, some guy's name of a building or house or a compound. You're always seeing their legacy. They're always just thinking they're here forever. They're going to leave their land after their own names. Nevertheless, listen to that. They're the key word, nevertheless. "Man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beast that perish. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." Man, that couldn't be put more perfectly plain and clear. Am I right? Is this psalmist right? Because look at it this way. We get all bent out of shape over people that have so much more than us, and we don't have that much because we don't have that much. And the psalmist says, don't get bent out of shape over that stuff. Because when they die, they're not going to have any more than you. We're all going to have the same. You can't take it with you. I'm always amused when people say, well, he died a millionaire. He didn't die a millionaire. He died a pauper. He brought nothing into the world and is carrying nothing out of the world. If someone says, how much did he leave? Well, he left it all. How much did he leave in it? He left it all. Nobody gets to take anything with him. We are using or borrowing things down here temporarily. You know, the more we think of in those lines about that, I mean, your house, you know, I'm not up here trying to say it's not wrong to have nice things. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But all my possessions, I don't have a second thought about them. You know, Our focus is to say, yeah, I'm borrowing these things right now. I really don't own anything down here. I don't own my house. I don't own my motorcycle. I don't own my car. I don't own my clothes. The Lord has blessed us with these blessings to enjoy them, but don't get caught up in them. Amen? Earthly treasures can drive you to things you don't want to do. There are people with many things that would just like to go back and redo it over, have the simple life. They say with more money, there's more problems. But they can't. They're stuck and they can end up doing stuff they didn't want to do. And they get themselves in a lot of trouble. You know, they run into trouble. They run into going to jail. They run into dying. Now, this next passage is even better than the one, first one in Timothy. If you got your Bibles, 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. And this goes for everybody. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money. Now let's get this straight, as I always like to point out. It's not money. Money is not the root of all evil. What is it, Eugene? The love. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What we're reading here is for the love and the gain of money, for to gain that, to gain material wealth, as we're reading and understanding in the text today, it just, they have many sorrows and problems, like we're reading here. And it drives them from the faith. I mean, we see this all over on the news. We see people that we know. You know, we're not to seek out this stuff. We're not to desire. Our desire shouldn't be to be rich. You know, you fall into that temptation. It goes with anything out there, you know. I mean, let's remember, money can cause as many problems as it solves. Amen? Like people who win the lotto, or rich people that can never, you know, rich people can never sleep or rest with their wealth because they're always worried about losing it. They're always worried about their money. And, you know, that's a dangerous thing. I mean, a guy that works 9 to 5 and has no problems can come home, hang out for a couple hours, eat dinner, and go to bed and wake and have an 8-hour sleep. But a guy that's got all these businesses and houses and employees, you know, is always worrying. He never sleeps because he's always got his money and his businesses, you know, on his mind. You know, too much stuff. You have to have spiritual view and perspective of things. No doubt about it. Earthly treasures don't satisfy. Having more money does not make you happier. Isaiah 55, 2 says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Amen to that. We should never get a false sense of security because we have resources. Earthly treasures are doomed to the ultimate destruction. One thing I've learned about preparing this message is that there are two things that are forever. One is the Word of God. Amen? And the other is the souls of men and women. Everything else is going to go away. 2 Peter 3 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The Bible is teaching us that don't get your heart caught up in all the things down here that you have investing in. When you're investing in all the earthly things, they have no eternal value, is what we're learning. Make heavenly or eternal investments. It says make heavenly or eternal investments, which appreciate. You know, you think about it. You know, let's look at something. Mark 10:29-30. Listen to this one. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." Jesus is saying when we invest in eternal things, what are they? The souls of people and the Word of God. When we do that, our investment never depreciates. It always appreciates. I mean, you've heard this saying, what you do for Christ lasts, right? And what you do for yourself will definitely pass, right? And when you do this stuff for the Lord, it grows and multiplies. The Lord is not into additions, He's into multiplying. You give money to the Lord, you know, you could be leading a family to Christ. No doubt about it, you know. Or if a person who has never believed, you could be leading them to the Lord, you know, with your resources. Or handing out a Bible tract. You never know when you hand out a tract. I mean, you know, I try to carry mommy, and when the Lord moves me to share it with somebody, I try to do that, you know. You just never know where that one track will lead a certain person. You just never, ever know. That, you know, if they're down, they don't have the Lord, and you share the gospel with somebody and talk about the Lord, and they take that track, you never know where that's going to lead. And, you know, it'll just lead to God's glory. God takes that gift, and He begins to multiply it. Heavenly investments continue on for eternity. Isn't that, you know, just like, how gratifying is that? To know that, you know, you're doing the Lord's work down here. No matter what it is, like, I'm up here preaching, you know, I'm blessed to do that. You know, the bus ministry is another blessing, you know. Eugene works with the youth group on Fridays with Bruce. I mean, you know, when you do things for the Lord, it just feels good to do that. You're just doing the Lord's work, you know. Going down to the mission once a month, taking, you know, stuff down. You know, we're doing the Lord's work. You're investing your time in eternity, not here. You're doing it's a good feeling. John 6:27 says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." When you invest your resources in eternal things, God is very pleased with that. He's honored by it. Philippians 4:18 says, "A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." You know, God is pleased when you do stuff for Him. Jesus says just by giving somebody a glass of water in His name is a big deal, is a huge deal. A glass of water. Can you imagine, you know, more than that? I mean, you know, just heavenly investments certify our passion in life. The Bible says, I like this one right here. No one can serve two masters. Isn't that the truth, though? Guys, isn't that the truth? You can't serve two masters in life. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. It's like in Revelation, you know, Jesus would not rather have you warm or cold, but, you know, when you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. He'd rather you be one or the other. If you're going to be cold, be cold. If you're going to be hot, be hot. But don't think you're going to stand in the middle. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know what mammon is? Or materialism. Yeah, money. Absolutely. Because you see it, right? You see it one or the other. But, you know, there's a lot of Christian people that are entrepreneurs, and there's nothing wrong with that. Heath is one of them. But you know what I'm saying. They're not believers. They're serving their money all their life. Mammon is materialism. That's what mammon means. You can you can have both, but you can't serve both. You can have money and God, but you can't serve money and God. You can only serve one master. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's so true, isn't it? Before I finish the passage, I mean, it's like where your heart is, your treasure will be there too. I mean, people that come to church, you know, they obviously want to come to church because their heart is wanting to serve the Lord. The people that are not coming to church, their heart is obviously not wanting to be here. So I was telling one of the brothers, you know, you got a problem, you know, with somebody that, you know, you can't get to come. I mean, you know, trying to force somebody to come to church or read their Bible or whatever, you know, just to try to get them on track. You know, you can't force them. You know, if they don't want to be here, you know they don't want to be here. You want to be a part of it. You have an ownership in it, like preaching or, like I said, the kids club or going on the mission. I mean, who is the greatest investor of all time? Who do you think the greatest investor is of all time? You would think about maybe Warren Buffett or Steve Jobs or you know, Rockefeller. I mean, who would you think the greatest investor of all time would be? Who? You said the Lord? Is that what she said? I can't hear. The Lord. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. You always get all the questions. That's good. No, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, look what He did. He invested in each and every one of us. Jesus was a carpenter. He took 12 disciples over 3 years and changed their lives and changed the lives of billions of people to win them back to the Lord, spanning generations, centuries. And it's still going. His greatest investment is mankind. Our souls. Our eternal souls. Having Him go to the cross for each and every one of us to purchase us back, to redeem us. That we have eternal life. You know, it's just as simple as it is, just believing. I was talking to Alana about her dad out there, and it's like, you know, the last to go is your hearing. You know, when the Lord says hearing of the Word of God, when you hear it, that's how you believe, hearing of the Word. You know, and like the thief on the cross, you know, he didn't have a chance to come down and get baptized and be a good person and go to church. He was dying right there with the Lord at that moment, at that time. And it's just a free, wonderful gift to anyone who just believes and accepts that, accepting of that, you know, that our sins are. And you know, the thing about the Lord is He forgets forever anything we've ever done. As far as the east is from the west, He forgets anything we've ever done. What a pardon. What grace. God's riches at His Son's expense. Jesus' expense, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable how the Lord works and how what a blessing He's been to each and every one of us down here. And, you know, I would just say there's a lot of people that don't have the Lord and they don't really care that they go into eternity. You know, share the gospel with people, you know, and be positive. Make your light shine amongst men, you know, in a dark world. I mean, look at what's going on. I mean, just the drugs and alcohol and the shootings at these schools. Out of control. This world is out of control. Surprised me at any point if the Lord were to come back here. You know, to be ready and waiting and to get out of here. I mean, it's not going to get better. I don't know who's talking what, but things down here are not going to get better. If anything, they're going to continue to get worse. I mean, look at it this way. These school shootings, people are getting desensitized just with that. You know, we're getting so immune to hearing about it. You know, you hear about it, and then a week later, you forget about it. I mean, it's the new norm. 20 or 30 years ago, this was unheard of. I mean, I remember, you know, am I right? 20, 30 years ago, this wasn't even talked of. I don't even think this was a thought. But back in 99, when the Columbine thing happened, that's when it started. And I can't number them now, how many we've been through. And, you know, the Lord is watching all this stuff happen. And I don't know whether you blame the mental illness, the way they're raised, the guns. I'm sure it's a combination of all that stuff. But I know one thing, people kill people, guns don't kill people. I know that for a fact. But they're mentally ill. I mean, they're not, you know, it's just the world without the Lord is just, you're seeing the destruction right now. You know, they're taking God out of schools. No more praying, you know. They're praying, you know, all right? You know, and if the Lord is not involved, if the Lord is not there, if the Lord is not in their prayers, you know, His face is against them that do evil. You know, I mean, it's just the thought of it. I mean, what do you expect? You push Him out. He's gonna stay out. That's what they want. Can you imagine when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world with a rapture? Can you imagine the insanity then? The only reason that this is kept together as long as it has is just the Christians of the world. Right? Exactly. You know, I mean, you take the Christians out of this world, all hell is going to break loose, no doubt about that. It's even going to be worse. But as we learn today, we know the Lord is in control of absolutely everything. We've got nothing to worry about here. And before He does come back, we will be raptured out of here. Thank the Lord. We won't have to see this destruction. But we're here today. And as we close, just keep praying for one another. Keep your focus on the Lord. Read your Bible as much as possible. Keep focused and, you know, and set our hearts on things above, not on things on earth. Amen. That's a great, great path. I think that's in Colossians. Yep. Colossians. Set your affections above, not on things on earth. And we know that in the next life, that's what's going on. Not this life, the next life. Let's close. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time I can come up and we can share Your word, Lord. We thank You for Your truth, Lord. You give each and every one of us truth when we open that Bible up, Lord. And we thank You for your Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, who went to the cross and bore everything for each and every one of us, Lord, that we can have eternal life when we die. And Lord, just keep strengthening us. Give us wisdom to keep knowing Your word. Keep us prepared for battle out there, Lord. And, you know, let us try to keep winning souls, Lord. Your word lasts forever, and the eternity of men and women's souls last forever, Lord. So let us be a witness to each and every one, Lord. But we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this day. Take us home in safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hey man, how you doing, buddy? Yeah. What are you doing?